And you're also listening to radio station WTSB, Selma, Smithfield, North Carolina. And we have on the line with us this afternoon a great broadcaster in America, one of the old pioneers, one of the finest people I know, Tom Joyner. Tom, I'm always anxious to hear your analysis of what's taking place in America. So come on, enlighten me and enlighten all the good people of WTSB at the same time.
I'll do it, Carl, and I understand the station took a little lightning strike earlier today, and hopefully it won't interfere with the transmission. In a minute, I'll speak to the controversy over what Donald Trump said about immigration. But first, let me point out the lunacy of the liberal left's argument that requiring identification to vote is a hardship. Now, here's what you need an ID for: to apply for welfare, to apply for food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, subsidized housing, Social Security, unemployment checks, to drive a car, to board an airplane, to get prescriptions filled, or to hold a rally to protest. There are many more, but this is enough to show the foolishness of liberal Democrats who seek to keep avenues open for those useful idiots willing to defraud the system. If someone must show an ID to take from taxpayers, why is it a burden for them to show identification at the voting booth? Now, my wife and I had the great pleasure of taking our two granddaughters on a trip out west for 12 days, returning just last Tuesday. Seven states and highlights like the Grand Canyon and Yellowstone Park were part of the trip, as well as 4th of July at Mount Rushmore, which I would urge you to resist. The traffic was horrendous, but the presidents were all there. Let's begin today with Donald Trump. Now, I doubt that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican candidate for the presidency, but you never know. I value his willingness to speak the truth that Washington doesn't want to hear. Other Republican candidates, as well as the liberal media, don't understand that the popularity of Trump in this election is spurred on by his message rather than Trump the individual. People are frustrated with the lack of action by a Congress that they elected to stop Obama's destruction of America and to right the wrongs on Wall Street and big banks. Voters had a right to expect that by putting Republicans in control of the House and the Senate, they would be well served in the area of illegal immigration. But these new electees, led by John Boehner, have been a total disappointment thus far. Boehner told the liberal Joy Behar that he was Obama's best friend, and so far he's shown that to be the case. Americans are fed up with inaction by Republicans and the unethical list of Democrats whose party promoted slavery and formed the Ku Klux Klan to run roughshod over the black population, and who raised the flag of the Confederacy over the South Carolina State House before forgetting which party put it there. Donald Trump's words echo the feelings of most Americans, and that is why his poll numbers are high. In their haste to appease the Hispanics who claim to be offended by Trump's claims, they need to understand that any legal immigrant who approves of illegals crossing our border is un-American. That any legal immigrant who approves of the scamming of our system by illegals is not here for the benefit of America, but simply a self-serving individual caring only about themselves. Either way, they don't belong here if not loyal to this country. That elusive level playing field that liberals claim they want, even as they seek to tilt it for their benefit, is a hoax. Give an inch, and the liberals and race hustlers take a mile. This is proven by taking down the Confederate flag in South Carolina, followed quickly by demands to remove statues, change buildings, and the audacity of demanding that a Confederate general and his wife be dug up from their graves and moved elsewhere. Now, as to what Trump said about illegal immigration, what part of it was not truthful? The leftists and PC police came after him with a vengeance. Trump said that illegal aliens were not the brightest minds in Mexico, and that is true. He said they brought crime across the border with them, and that's true. Trump said that illegal aliens were bringing drugs across our border, and that's true, in greater amounts than we're being told. Then Trump said that illegals are crossing our border and engaging in rape. That is also true, and I'll give you the facts today. So what was untrue? Nothing that Trump said was untrue. He pointed out that some of the illegals are law-abiding, but that our southern border is a sieve, and all who sneak across it are breaking our laws. No other country in the world, including Mexico, allows immigrants to cross into their country illegally. According to the 1996 Immigration Act, it is a federal crime to enter our country illegally. Trump's enemies, including the Republican candidates, with the exception of Ted Cruz, use the old reliable tactics to try and demean him. They shout bigot and racist to shut down any debate. The old unreliable News and Observer in Raleigh blasted Trump on last Saturday's editorial page by suggesting that illegal aliens should not be criticized so as to keep the Hispanic community happy and garner their votes. How ignorant is that? These ultra-liberal spinmeisters seem to forget that Trump spoke of illegal aliens. Illegals, not those who came here legally, and any legal immigrant who gets offended about people who break our laws getting called out does not have America's best interests in mind. These NNO pundits work for a paper that was one of the most fierce pro-segregation voices, a paper that ran cartoons of black people that were despicable and who editorialized against black Americans and any mention of integration. This same paper with that despicable past now wants to call on others to be hurt, to be penalized. They now back the movements to destroy all symbols of the Confederacy. Should the paper itself not be treated as they wish to treat transgressions of others in the past? Liberals are quick to point to the faults of others, but refuse to see the faults of their own. Trump is right. The crime rate is very high among Hispanics. Hispanics make up 14% of the U.S. population, but are 34% of federal prisoners. That doesn't mean a thing to liberal America. Barack Obama has been releasing illegal immigrants from jails for committing felonies that would put other legal citizens into prison. This enables tragedies such as the recent murder of an innocent young woman in San Francisco by an illegal immigrant who had 7 felony convictions and who had been deported 5 times. Each time these illegals circle around and re-enter the United States almost before the Border Patrol gets back home. Liberal Democrats see nothing wrong in driving another minority group into ghettos and barrios, failing school systems, single motherhood, gang membership, and low-paying jobs just to keep up the congressional districts and keep their biggest campaign contributors, the teachers' union, happy. There are more than 200 cities in our country who have declared their city a sanctuary for people like the San Francisco killer. Illegals return there because they are free from arrest by the local authorities. 97% of illegal immigrants who enter the United States clandestinely do so across the almost 2,000-mile border between the U.S. and Mexico. Only about 20% are caught. Those few who are caught are deported, only to immediately circle back around and enter illegally again. The New York Times reports that about 4.5 million illegals in the U.S. drive a car on a regular basis, many without licenses or insurance or even the ability to read road signs written in English. The Office of Immigration Statistics reports that of the 188,382 deportations of illegal aliens in 2011, 23% had committed criminal traffic offenses, primarily driving under the influence of drugs or alcohol. It's estimated that illegal alien drunk drivers kill 13 Americans every single day. A death toll of almost 5,000 of our fellow Americans every year. On a personal note, our neighbor, Jean, had a car that was hit head-on just blocks from her home by an illegal Mexican immigrant who had no driver's license, was drunk, and had no insurance. Jean was critically hurt. This nice lady who loved to walk her dog is permanently handicapped because of the lack of resolve by this country. And this president, to seal our border and enforce tough laws against those who disobey our laws and cross our border illegally. Democrats nor Republicans have had the backbone to demand the change and to stick to it. More than 43,000 illegal aliens were convicted of drug offenses last year. The violent crime category of assault, robbery, rape, and sexual assault and family offenses comes to 12% of these illegals, inflicting thousands to millions of dollars in costs per alien on American taxpayers. Pinal County, Arizona, is roughly 70 miles north of the border with Mexico. In 2010, the U.S. Border Patrol reported 212,202 illegal aliens caught in the Tucson sector alone. They admit that for each one they catch, another 2.7 illegals make it across undetected. Of those who were caught, 30% already have a criminal record in the United States. They've been here before. New figures show that the number of federal prosecution cases against the previously deported immigrants is increasing nationwide. The problem getting worse, not better. Nationwide, the number of people prosecuted for coming back illegally after being deported has increased by 175% since 2005. The number of illegal aliens has almost tripled since the Obama administration began talking about amnesty. A number of these people, not all, are criminals. Illegals from countries besides Mexico have ballooned from 89,000 in 2010 to 99,000 in 2012, mostly from Central America. A study of 55,320 illegal aliens found that they were arrested at least 459,614 times, averaging about 8 arrests per illegal alien. 70% had between 2 and 10 arrests, and 26% had 11 or more arrests. According to the FBI, 75% of those on the most wanted criminals list in Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Albuquerque are illegal aliens. A full one-quarter of all inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationals, as are more than 40% of all inmates in Arizona and 48% in New Mexico's jails. More than 53% of all burglaries reported in California, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, and Texas are committed by illegal aliens. 63% of cited drivers in Arizona have no license, no insurance, no registration for their vehicles. Of that number, 97% are illegal aliens. 66% of cited drivers in New Mexico have no license, no registration, no insurance. Of that, 66%, 98% are illegal aliens. These illegals consider the United States to be stupid. Consider that in Arizona, Mexican national Santana Rolando Mota Campos has been arrested 11 times for crimes ranging from abduction, assault, 4 DUIs, vehicular assault, attempted robbery, and domestic violence. He's already been deported twice for drug charges in California, and now he faces charges of kidnapping, aggravated assault, sexual abuse of a minor, giving police false information, providing false documents, and trespassing. In Arizona, Santana Batiz Achiz has been charged with 47 counts of rape based on DNA evidence. He's already been deported twice for drug charges in California. He now faces charges of kidnapping, aggravated assault, and sexual abuse of a minor. So, was Donald Trump wrong in what he said about illegal aliens? The increasing crime wave by illegal aliens can be linked to a series of policy actions taken by the Obama administration as part of their desire to have our borders wide open to any and all who wish to cross them. In June 2012, 6 months after the election of Obama, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano issued a directive to immigration officials instructing them to stop deportation proceedings against an estimated 1.7 illegal aliens. That happened about a year after Barack Obama admitted that the president doesn't have the legal authority to simply ignore Congress and say we're not going to enforce the laws you've passed. Do these illegals bring crime, drugs, and rape with them, as Trump asserted? I'll give you some examples. Police in Austin, Texas, a sanctuary city, arrested two Mexican nationals charged with the gang rape of a 23-year-old girl on June 29. As many as 13 illegals sexually assaulted the girl. I'll give you more of these grim facts as we go along. The 2011 illegal alien population in the United States, based on the Pew Research Center, are estimated at 11.7 million. The population since 1990 for illegals has more than tripled and shows no sign of slowing down. 53% of U.S. citizens believe that most, if not all, illegals should be deported. But 42% of eligible voters did not even vote in the last election. Illegal aliens are bringing crime, drugs, and sexual assaults across our southern border. You've heard facts today to support Trump's claims. Let me give you some examples. July 2015, Ever Olivos Gutierrez, an illegal alien overstayer, was convicted of second-degree murder in Colorado for the death he caused while driving drunk. It was the fourth time since 2000 he'd been arrested for DUI, but there's no record of immigration authorities being notified by police when those arrests occurred. June 2015, a Salvadoran, Mauricio Hernandez, was convicted of rape and murder of the baby of his rape victim. May 2015, Julio Saravia raped a minor to which he pled guilty in Virginia. May 2015, two Mexicans, Juan Hernandez Sanchez and Canela Perez, plead guilty in Portland, Oregon to drug trafficking. May 2015, Bernabe Flores, a Mexican legal, pled guilty to first-degree rape in California. April 2015, Victor Cusada Alvarez pled guilty to murder. April 2015, Sergio Lopez, a Mexican illegal who had been deported four times, was sentenced for drug trafficking. His brother had also been deported and sent to prison when he came back for drug charges. Here in North Carolina, just last week, Javier Antonio Reyes, an illegal alien, was charged with the rape of three girls, age 8, 4, and 4. April 2015, three illegal aliens, Uriel Perez, Darwin Ruca, and Eliseo Perez, fled guilty to first-degree rape in New York. They will be deported, but we can count on them recrossing the border illegally. March 2015, Javier Molina, a Mexican illegal alien, was prosecuted for attempting to transport a minor to engage in sexual activity. March 15, Luis Guzman, Mexican illegal alien, charged with conspiracy to produce and distribute false and counterfeit identification documents to be sold to other illegals. He had already been deported twice in 2009. Four of his companions were also charged. May 14, Humberto Gonzalez, convicted in New Jersey of criminal assault and rape. The rape occurred in 2005, but he was not identified until a DNA match was made following an arrest of his in Texas for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Gonzalez already had a criminal record in Louisiana and Arkansas. These are just a few of a long list of criminal activity committed by illegal aliens who are flooding our country. Now, I have a much larger list for those who want to hear it. More than 300 pages, single-spaced, for starters. By the way, remember the Mexican illegal Rolando Campos, who I told you about, who had been arrested 11 times for abduction, assault, 4 DUIs, vehicular assault, attempted robbery, and domestic violence? The guy who has been deported 3 times? He is the one who told Immigration, quote, "The United States is stupid. I come back every time, and I will come back again," unquote. This society has been hogtied by a far-left element that uses political correctness to drive their agenda and to attack people like Trump who voice an opinion contrary to their own. These people are dangerous, and they have taken this country to the brink of destruction. Donald Trump spoke up about the criminal element stealing across our southern border. He said these illegal aliens are bringing crime, drugs, and sexual assaults to America. Now, I've described for you how everything Trump said about crime, drugs, and rape are not only true, but are increasing in volume. Why, then, is he being attacked by presidential candidates from the right? Because they want to cater to the Hispanic vote, just as the Democrats do. It's all about retaining power and the growing number of Hispanic voters that keep these Republican politicians from speaking out about the danger of illegal immigration. I personally think that Trump reacts too much off the cuff when a more thoughtful response would be helpful. But the man is not afraid to take on the sacred cows of the left, and I admire that greatly. If it came down to Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton for president, I would gladly vote for Trump. I appreciate the fact that he's willing to shake up the status quo and offer truth to the voters rather than try to say what liberals and illegals want to hear, even if what they want to hear is not in the best interests of our country. I support Trump's call for sealing the southern border now and passing legislation that will place a 5-year prison term on any illegal alien caught returning after being deported. A third arrest should carry a 10-year term and face time, and each time after the third arrest for attacking our border, it should carry with it a prison term of 15 years. We should stop all immigration, legal or illegal, for 2 years while we work through our problems and start back with legal immigration only when the problems have been corrected. When we eliminate the advantages that we give to illegals, stop the insanity of sanctuary cities where they're coddled and protected, we will see the increasing flow of illegal aliens end. Touching now on the issue of the Confederate flag, I have to say that I do believe that flying the flag over a government building should be curtailed. These buildings belong to all Americans. But we also need to be careful not to let this slippery slope turn into a free-for-all against our southern states. Already, some are calling for buildings to be renamed, statues taken down, and digging up the bones of a Confederate general and moving them to another place that won't be offensive to anyone who claims to take offense. Those who want to fly the flag at home and on their vehicles have every right to do so. My ancestors have been in North Carolina for some 278 years, after 100 years in Virginia. I've ancestors who fought in the Civil War, but I nor my family see that flag as a symbol of slavery. To me, it's a source of pride in being a Southerner, and I am proud to be one. But given the use of that flag by the Ku Klux Klan as a symbol of hate, I can see where black Americans can take issue with it. Just as I took offense when Barack Obama decided to put the White House under the rainbow colors of the gay and lesbian movement. Obama has shown that he lied about being opposed to same-sex marriage in order to get into the White House. His life has endorsed the gay lifestyle, and while the media helps him hide it, the fact is Barack Obama performed sex acts for money through college. The White House, like the South Carolina State House, belongs to all Americans, and if the Confederate flag is to be attacked, then no other flag except the Stars and Stripes should fly over any government building. Nor should any symbol of sexual preference be illuminated from the White House. That is the ultimate offensive action for me. Barack Obama is far from being through in bringing America down as he stated he would do. He's already decimated our military back to the levels of World War I, and now he's announced that 40,000 soldiers will be released soon, and another 30,000 to come later. Some 17,000 civilian jobs will be cut. Where exactly are these people who have served our country going to find jobs? Obama does this even as he tries to flood our country with immigrants who have low skill levels, low education levels, and who are willing to work for cheap wages. 87,000 Americans in this country legally are going to find themselves unable to care for themselves or their family due to a job market that is in the pits. And if Obama has his way, there will be more cuts to our military. The mess he has created for somebody else to take the blame for, well, he blamed George Bush for the first 6 years of his destruction of America, and the mess now he wants to leave to somebody else. We have no strategy to eliminate Islamic terrorists, and so they grow bigger, richer, and more determined than ever to raise the Islamic flag over the White House and to kill any and all of us who will not forsake God and Jesus Christ to bow to Allah and Islam. They intend to put our country under Sharia law, and yet in spite of their open warnings, Obama shunts aside his military generals for the advice of people like Valerie Jarrett, Iranian-born and a disciple of Islam. How on earth have we come to the point where right is wrong, wrong is right, and logic and common sense are ignored? If we can keep this country afloat for a few more years, and that's a big if, the truth about Obama, Jarrett, Hillary Clinton, Elijah Cummings, and a host of liberal Democrats will come out. Pray that it comes out sooner rather than later, and that we will find politicians with enough honesty and love for their country to reverse this trend to oblivion. And let me go lastly on the issue of talks with Iran. We have to wonder how ignorant John Kerry and Barack Obama are as they keep extending the deadline for an agreement that they desperately want with Iran. It's almost comical. And there's no way that a bad deal with Iran is going to not be rejected by the Senate. Again and again, the Iranian leadership calls for death to America, even while talks are ongoing. They say that wiping Israel off the face of the earth is non-negotiable, and that alone is enough to leave the talks. Iran wants billions of dollars released to them immediately, money which they will no doubt use to spread anarchy and terrorism against us. Iran says to all the world that they will not allow inspections of their nuclear facilities. Trust us, they say, while the world knows they cannot be trusted. Exactly what has John Kerry got to debate about with Iran? We should have walked out on those talks long ago. But Obama and his Iranian-born Islamic comrade, Valerie Jarrett, have been willing to expose themselves as the fools they are in a feverish attempt to put cow udders onto a steer, a feat as likely as any good agreement coming out of Iran. Lastly, close the talks, keep the money, and back our Israeli allies. They know how to ring Iran's bell. Something Obama and Jarrett will not do. Carl?
Yes, sir. Thank you for a great commentary today, Tom Jordan. We'll see you again next week. And what a great commentary today. Thank you ever so much.
Thanks, Carl.